Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Manxiety Podcast.
We're your hosts, Ashad and Matt.
Before we get started, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe so you can get notified of new episodes.
If you want to share this with your friends, you can find us on all podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
This week, we'll be talking about anxiety allies. Do you or someone you know suffer with anxiety? Do you know what to do when they're having anxiety? Well, we have the solution for you. We're going to be talking about what you can do to help your friends with anxiety. If you know you're listening and you know other people that have anxiety, or if you have anxiety yourself, but maybe someone else is experiencing it at the moment, how to help them. Or if you have anxiety, you're listening, you can relay this information to other people so that they can help you. So, Matt, where do we get started?
At the beginning, like always. Let's start at the beginning.
Let's do it.
At the dawn of time, there was anxiety.
When there were dinosaurs roaming the earth, anxiety was created.
Soon after, there was depression and stress and loneliness. But then came happiness.
But then came the Manxiety Podcast. And with it, you learned how to control your anxiety.
There we go. Yeah, this is a really important topic because, you know, a lot of people that are my friends know that I do the show now, and they're kind of like, well, how do you help somebody with anxiety, or what do you do, right? And some of it is going to be very specific to that person, depending on the type of anxiety that they have. But there's a lot of advice we can give that are very general that is going to be very helpful overall.
So kiss them on the lips. Always helps. Telling you right now, anxiety attack, kiss them.
That's a different kind of attack. don't do that.
No, but I am serious. If your significant other is having an anxiety attack, it's been proven, and I'll try to find the article, and I'll put it in the description, or you can look for it, just Google it. It's been proven that if someone is having an anxiety attack and you kiss them, it'll, you know, relieve their anxiety and stop the attack in most cases.
This is why every single time I've been around a shot, you know, pre-pandemic, he's like, oh, I'm really anxious. I'm like, what? So, like, take a deep breath.
He never gets the
calm
hint.
Calm down. Dude. And then he's like, no, I'm really anxious. And I'll, like, pucker his lips at me. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, he never gets the hint. Like, I've tried so many times, but just can't get a kiss out of this guy.
That's so funny. yeah, I mean, that is one thing that'll definitely help, right? Kissing, affection, cuddling, hugging, holding, those types of things that we need as human beings, right? We need that
the physical touch.
Yes, the physical touch, right? And a lot of it doesn't have to be romantic.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
The other day I was sitting on the couch and my roommate is like, you look like you're stressed. And I was like, eh. I'm like, I'm just tired. And like, he just came over and like held me, and I was like, okay. And then his girlfriend's like, what the fuck are you doing? and he's like, no, he's stressed. I need to like hold on to him. And I was like, okay. But it was basically just he's hugging me, right?
So yeah, of course. No, it, dude, it was that's good.
Yeah, it was just nice. And then I was like, ah, dude, that feels nice, you know, especially because he's taller than me and bigger than me. So he actually like held on to me, which is very rare for me because I'm so tall. So I felt like a little kid, like being held by like a parent, like, oh yeah, like somebody bigger than me is giving me a hug.
So you were the little spoon, something you don't get to experience very often.
I love being little spoon, man. Little spoon's the best. Anyways, back to the topic. Yeah, so those types of things are really good, right? And a lot of times what happens is if somebody's having an anxiety attack, you'll see them kind of like retreat to a bed or to a couch, wrap a blanket around them, try to like create like a almost like an insulated happy space for them,
Yes. Cross their arms, you know, close their legs, like across their legs maybe, and just like get very small.
Yeah. So sometimes if it's really bad, they may go into like the fetal position. They may cry, right? If you're having really bad anxiety, you may have, you know, the relief of stress, which includes crying. Sometimes they may laugh, right? They may just be like, ah, and laughing hysterically because they're trying to get out of it and they can't really understand the feeling or whatever, right? Like, there's all these different things. Usually for me, if I'm having like a panic attack, which has been a while, I get like the 1,000-yard stare, and I'm just like staring at like a paperclip on my desk, and I don't move or say anything, and I'm like barely breathing, which is kind of where the panic attack is stemming from, hyperventilation and your breath work, right? And I get really bad tunnel vision, so literally all I can see is the paperclip. And I've had like coworkers come up to me and they start talking to me, and I'm just like, yeah, yeah. Or one time I remember I was literally just staring at the time on the computer, because I was like, oh, okay, it's, you know, 1 p.m. I get to go home at 5. Why isn't it 5 yet? And then I remember, you know, and when you're staring at time, our perception of it is slower. It's like if you look at the watch, if you look at the, like a watch and you see the seconds ticking, you're like, it seems like it's longer than a second. It's some weird trick that we do. But yeah, you know, so it really just depends. And the thing is, like, people didn't understand the symptoms that I was going through. I didn't really understand it, right? This was a new thing for me. So I was just kind of stuck there, almost paralyzed. And, you know, the thing that kind of did eventually take me out of some of that at work was, like, people would come by and just say, like, hey, what's going on? Instead of, like, hey, is this done yet? Like, hey, how's your day going? I was like, oh, it's okay. And, you know, it's a typical thing of everybody saying it's okay. So if you know somebody is having a stressful time and they just say, I'm fine, I'm okay, if you're close enough with them, maybe you can prod a little bit further and say, not like, hey, it looks like you're having a bad time, but just like, oh, no, like, you know, I've been really stressed out, you know, how are you feeling, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you kind of like empathize with them.
Yeah, I think
open up that door for conversation.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, like talking to them about something, getting their mind off of it, I think helps. So,
yeah,
you know, like physical touch, obviously, we talked about that. So, you know, if you're close enough to them, and obviously not during a pandemic, but, you know, maybe like put a hand on their shoulder or like whatever it is, give them a hug. Like if that's something you guys do, you know, I give Matt a hug every time I see him. So, and most of my friends, but, you know, give them a hug. But the other thing is definitely talking to them. Even if it's just about your own experience, like if you ask them, like Matt just said, you know, how are you doing? Maybe they're not very responsive. Then maybe you just tell them about something, tell them a story or whatever it is. If you can tell that, like, you know, they're not doing well or having a panic attack or whatever it is, just tell them about your day or tell them about something to get their minds off of it. And I think a lot of times that'll help them as well. Or even, you know, hey, do you want to go grab some coffee or go grab, you know, go for a walk, whatever it is, just to get their minds off of it.
Yeah. If you, a lot of times with the adrenaline spike from panic attacks, anxiety, if you can get them to move forward, not necessarily like in the progression of their mind, but if you can get them to do something physical, that'll help. If you get them to obviously breathe, you know, into the nose, out to the mouth, like try to get into more rhythm and less like hyperventilating, if that's what's causing it, that's important. But even if you do exactly what Ashad just said, where you say, hey, let's go for a walk, that's going to help regulate their breathing a little bit. And it's going to help them like not be stuck in their environment and the kind of the tunnel vision that they created, and then start to see like the landscape and everything else. And maybe you get out of the house and it's a different environment and it's a change of scenery. So then like it starts to kind of like click mentally for them, which is really important, you know. And if you're, you know, if you're one of those people at home who's tuning in because you have a friend with anxiety and you want to better help them, right? It goes both ways. It's kind of like, I'd say one thing that's really important that I just thought of is, you know, don't be dismissive to what they feel, right? Because you're not living their life. You don't feel the way that they do. So if they say, I'm feeling stressed out, and you're like, why? Life's great. Everything's awesome. The stock market's up and blah, 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 right? And they're going to go like, what? Like, that's not helping, right? So you just want to sit there, listen, be supportive. You don't have to exactly offer a solution if you don't know what it is. Just your presence is probably okay.
And honestly, most of the time, I've learned this the hard way. But I think, me personally, but I think, like, just as guys, we try to offer solutions, because I know that other guys do this too. Where, like, you know, when my wife, like, comes to me with a problem, like, I try to offer a solution. But most of the time, they just want someone to listen, right? So I think just listening is the important part. Not offering any solutions, not being logical about any of it, but just listening to them and maybe you know, just letting them let it out, right? Letting them talk about it. Usually, just that alone makes them feel better.
Yeah, you can preface those conversations too and just say, is this something you're looking for where you want a solution? Like, do you want help to this problem or do you just want to vent? Right? True. And if they say, I want a solution, like I want blah, 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 then of course, you know, try and give them that solution. And if they just say, I want to vent, then you just sit there, you listen. Okay, yeah, oh, that sucks. And you don't have to say, I do this sometimes because I like, you know, relating stories back to things that I've learned is like, I try to just shut up, which is hard for me. But I won't say like, oh, yeah, I also had a friend that had really bad anxiety once. And his name was Thomas. And Thomas did this. And he was a train. And next thing you know, he was riding around town. I don't know, because Thomas the train. I don't know where I'm going with this. But the point is,
yeah,
you know,
no,
like,
you want to let them talk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't. You don't want to be the one that takes control of the situation and then doesn't let them be heard.
Exactly.
Right. And especially part of that, too, is like what I was saying with being dismissive, because then if you're like, oh, well, I get stressed out before I play video games, it's the same thing. It's like, well, it's probably not the same thing to them, right? Like, obviously, if your stress isn't at the level, or your anxiety isn't at the level where it's being detrimental to your daily activities, you're probably not in the same place that they are having a panic attack.
Yep.
Right? And even if it's like those little daily stressors are what's going to lead to that big stress event, and it just feeling like you're completely overwhelmed and, you know, having too much of everything coming in, too much stimulus.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different for every person. Even if the same thing might be causing the anxiety, the level of anxiety might be totally different. You know, if me and Matt are about to go on a roller coaster and we're both feeling anxious, just because the roller coaster is what is making us both feel anxious doesn't mean that my level of anxiety is the same as his. Maybe I'm just feeling slightly anxious because I haven't been on a roller coaster in a while, whereas Matt is deadly afraid of roller coasters, so he's feeling very anxious, right? So I can't just talk to him and say, nah, dude, like, I feel anxious too, but I'm fine. I'm still going, you know, yadda. You have to keep that in mind. You know, for every person, it's very different. So I think those are, you know, again, physical touch, talking to them, trying to get their mind off things, and listening, I think are three very, very important parts of helping, you know, helping and being an ally to someone with anxiety.
Definitely. Also, if you know, if you're around them enough and you know they haven't had water, they haven't eaten recently, you know, you can go get them food, you can get them water, you can make them a smoothie or a shake, things like that, right, that are going to, like, physically help them, yep. Right? Now, obviously, if you're, like, really panicked and you're nauseous, maybe they won't eat. I've been there. But, you know, just that act of kindness really goes a long way to be like, oh, okay, right, things are kind of okay. No, you brought me food, thank you, you know, kind of deal.
Showing people you care, right? I think yeah, that's important too, because again, if you have anxiety and you feel it, like, it makes you feel very alone. So having someone there, having someone, you know, helping you out, caring, I think is another, like Matt said, very important part of making someone feel better. But, you know, I do that all the time. If I'm talking to Matt or anyone else and they tell me they're feeling anxious or like they're not feeling well, whatever it is, usually the first question I'll ask them is, have you had any water today? Or have you had enough water today? And then, you know, whether they have or not, I'll ask them, you know, have you had something to eat? You know, what did you eat? Whatever it is, have you had enough sleep? Like, anytime I talk to Matt and if he tells me he's feeling anxious, I'm like, have you taken your meds? Right? You know, if he says he hasn't sometimes, then I'm like, well, you know, your solution is right there, right? Like, you know what you have to do. Now you just have to, you know, do it on your own terms whenever you can. And sometimes maybe you can't do all of those things, but slowly but surely you can definitely get there.
Yeah, funnily enough, one of my roommates asked me that the other day. I just kind of was like, I guess, I mean, I told him, I was like, yeah, I just like didn't sleep well. And she's like, well, did you take your meds? And I was like, no, like, because at first it was like weird to hear that, because I was like, what meds, like, what? And I was like, oh, right, you're referencing the podcast. And I was like, no. And she's like, well, you want to go for a walk, or maybe you can go meditate, or we can make food. And I was like, oh, okay, shit, like, she's got this down,
dude. That's so awesome. I think, yeah, this needs to become a bigger thing. I think it has a lot of potential. And just imagine walking around one day, Matt. You're just out on the street. Pandemic's over. We're out on the street. We're walking. You see someone isn't feeling well. And then as you're walking by and you're going to, you know, maybe try to help them out, you hear someone say, hey, have you taken your meds?
Yeah.
How awesome would that be?
I mean, when I, so I came up with it, I don't know, a while ago, but it's because I like to systematize things and that helps me with my stress and lowers my anxiety, right? If I know what, like, the routine I'm going to do when I come home, then I'll just always do that routine, right? Now, part of the problem in that is figuring out what you should do when you get home and, like, what works well, and then not getting upset if you change it a little bit, right? So if you say, I'm going to come home and I'm going to work out for an hour, and then the one day you come home and you don't work out because you're tired or you were at work late or whatever, you're not, you can't be like, oh, woe is me, I'm a piece of shit. You have to just be like, okay, I'm going to work out tomorrow, you know, and make up for it or whatever. So because I like to do it, I was like, you know, I at some point came up with it, and yeah, it's, for me, it's just something that it's like the baseline for like a lot of health, right? And adding meditation in is very important. There's been a lot more studies on meditation recently. I think maybe like 10, 15 years ago, meditation was kind of like the woo woo aspect. Like a lot of people say it where it's like, oh, this like spiritual journey thing. You're like, what is that? Like, I'm not hippie or whatever. When in reality, it's actually a really great tool that anybody can do anywhere because it's just breath work.
Yep.
And there's a lot of great, you know, podcasts that talk about it, a lot of great books. There's so many things that are talking about meditation. A lot of great apps as well.
Yeah. If you go back and listen to our fifth episode, we talk about meditation there. And just like throughout this whole podcast, we've talked about meditation, you know, in different ways and for different reasons.
Yeah. And a lot of it, you know, if you're hyperventilating, your oxygen and your CO2 levels are out of balance, then you're going to start feeling certain symptoms. And the more, and then the problem is the more that you feel those symptoms, the more that you focus on those symptoms, and then you're not focused on your breathing. And then, you know, you kind of get this cycle that we talk about a lot where you're stuck and you're trapped in that anxiety cycle. So if you're being an ally to somebody and you notice that they're kind of going in this like hyper stressful state and then kind of coming out of it and then so on and so forth constantly, then I think that one thing you can do as well is try to figure out maybe like what some of the triggers are for it. And you can ask the person, right? Like what's causing them stress? Like, and even when they're not in one of those hyper states, like a panic attack, you know, just ask them, oh, you know, what's going on? Like, and let them vent. And if they want a solution, you can help them with that solution, right? I think often, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, you know, a lot of these things that we talked about, you know, we reference them to panic attacks, but, or like anxiety attacks, but they can be used when someone is just feeling anxious. Like they don't have to be having a panic attack. You know, if someone is just has anxiety, has a lot of anxiety at the moment, any of these methods can help them reduce that too. So I just want to throw that out there, that these aren't specific to any kind of panic or anxiety attacks. They're just for overall for anxiety.
Yeah, I kind of see it as like meds for health.
Yep.
Right? Like overall health, like these are the things that you're going to get the most bang for your buck if you work on them every day, right? You make sure you get 8 hours of sleep. You know, you diet one way or another, whether it's if you want to gain weight, you bulk up. You want to lose weight, you cut. You want to maintain, you maintain. Just try to eat healthier, right? Exercising every day.
Diet is just eating a better diet, right? Not necessarily eating more or eating less, but better.
Well, it's just whatever your goal is.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Whatever your goal is. But so if you don't have a goal, then just eating better.
Yeah. Just try to make healthier choices. But if you're obviously trying to do something in one way or the other, right? Gain weight, lose weight, then like that's what you should be working towards, right?
For sure.
Because it's your own personal goal. We're not going to set that goal for you. Exercise, obviously important. Like everybody knows exercise is important. And, you know, for me, that's the one that like I start to drop off immediately because, oh, you're tired, whatever. But, you know, going on a walk is, you know, or a run or like a jog, things like that, they're going to be really helpful for you, especially for cardio. And it's just getting in that routine and doing it. And then meditation is kind of the cherry on top for most people. You know, there was up in San Francisco somewhere, there was a school that was teaching meditation. I think it was in Oakland, or that's not San Francisco then, but whatever, up in NorCal. And they were, they saw like a dramatic drop in like fights and stress from students because instead of doing recess like every Monday through Friday, like Tuesdays and Thursdays, they would just teach them meditation and then give them all time to just relax and just breathe and like, you know, chill out a little bit. And then they saw that people were more calm because kids are hyper, like everything. Not just literally hyper, but like everything is, you know, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever, right? Or this is the worst thing ever, whatever. Like they're very, like they hit a lot of extremes and yep. They have a lot of energy. And it's like, how do you get them to calm that down a little bit, right? And yeah, so, you know, meditation, no, we use cool. there. There's tons of books.
I didn't know that. Well, I heard like some schools were doing it, but I didn't know, you know, to that extent. But I think that's awesome. I think meditation is very important. And a lot of people, you know, even when you're trying to help someone, maybe be an ally to someone that's having anxiety, you might think like, oh, like, I don't know, meditation, I've never done it, whatever it is. I mean, you can always download a quick app, do a 5-minute meditation with them or something, right? Like, just pop open the app and go like, hey, let's do this quick meditation together. And just go through it, and hey, who knows, maybe you'll realize that it relieves some of your stress and anxiety too.
Yeah, I think that would like 100% help and is a great idea, right? If you pull out Calm or Headspace or 10% Happier or I don't know, Waking Up or Sam Harris's one or whatever, there's like a million different ones, right?
Yep.
If you pull out one of those and somebody's having, you know, stress, and you say, hey, let's do this meditation together, that's awesome. Because now you're creating that bond. And also you're not saying, oh, this is just bullshit, here's an app. You're doing it with them. That's perfect. I love that. I think that obviously if the setting's right for it, if it's at work, I don't think you can just like blast your speakers and be like, let's relax. But
well, maybe you give one of your AirPods to someone. You each keep one and then you do it.
There we go.
Or you go to a meeting room. You schedule a 15-minute meeting and then you just go and meditate.
Yeah, I actually used to do a little bit of meditation at my desk at work, and it was in combination where you would like, you know, you would like curl up your toes and release them, like you tense parts of your body as well as meditating.
Right.
It was like, I think it was on Calm. And one of my coworkers saw me because like you're supposed to like tense your eyes and, you know, like squeeze your face and whatever, and then just release the tension. And he's like, are you okay? I was like, oh, shit, I kind of forgot that. In the physical sense, you know, you can see what I'm doing as well. But, you know, if you're at work and you have any type of headphones, definitely, you know, take your 15-minute break, go sit down somewhere, meditate. And you'll kind of see that, you'll start to see some benefit. You know, for some people, it's right away. For some people, it's going to take a few days, a few weeks. But if you keep at it, you know, you'll start to see that your baseline's lowered. And, yep. You know, it's hard. Right? Like we've said before, you know, we as people that are on the podcast saying this, we know this, right? And it's hard because in my case, like if it's not a part of my routine, right? And because I had, you know, some time off, if it's not a part of that routine, like if it was wake up every day and meditate for 10 minutes, I would do it. But because it's wake up every day, get ready, take a shower, brush my teeth, you know, do my hair, like all the typical morning stuff, you know, and then do it. There's some days where I wake up 5-10 minutes late and it's not the most important thing in my mind. I got to get ready for work. So you need to prioritize it the same way you would a gym routine, everything else, right?
I was about to say, I mean, it can be part of your routine. It was definitely part of my routine at one point where I would wake up, do a 20-minute meditation, and then I would do everything else I needed to do. And so I made sure I woke up early enough to do it every day because it was one of the things, you know, I had to do before I left, before I did anything else.
Yeah, you lost me at waking up early.
Just gotta sleep early.
I used to sleep really early, and it's still, every time I gotta wake up, it's a pain.
Yeah.
I hate it. My bed's so comfortable.
But anyway, going back to being an ally. I mean, I think, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, everything we mentioned, you can use... You know, you can use any of the methods from any of our episodes to help someone. You know, whether it's, again, the physical touch, the talking, the meds, maybe it's relaxation. You know, maybe someone is feeling anxious and, you know, you decide, hey, let's take a spa day, right? Maybe you take them to the spa, or you guys go together to the spa, or go get a massage, or whatever it is. There's... Anything that can relax them or get their minds off of, you know, what's causing them that anxiety is going to help them out. So again, talking to them, figuring out what's causing them anxiety, I think is the first piece. But then once you do that, then you know, then you have different avenues, right, of what you can do to help them out. So if work is causing them anxiety, maybe you do something to get their minds off of work. If, you know, an event that's coming up is causing them anxiety, maybe you help them plan it out, right? Maybe get them more prepared for it. So I think being prepared is definitely a big part of mitigating and reducing the anxiety, the more prepared you are, the less likely and the less anxious you'll feel. And that's the case with anyone, right? Like, even, let's see, like, if I had to do a presentation at work, or like if I've done a couple of speeches for different things at school, at work, college, whatever it is, you know, anytime I had my speech written, I had practiced, you know, in the mirror, I had practiced to other people, my anxiety was very low because I'd gone through the whole speech. You know, I'd done it in front of people. I already knew what to expect. I already knew that I'm not gonna, what I'm saying, you know, is good or whatever it is. Like if I had any anxiety about my speech being good or bad, I've said it in front of maybe some friends or my significant other or whoever it is, and they've given me feedback, so I've taken care of that piece. And the more you practice, the more confident you feel. So, you know, if you're feeling anxious because it's going to be in front of maybe a room full of people or a hall full of people or like whatever it is, well, if you do it a couple of times, it becomes natural to you. And so maybe you help them out in that way. If they're feeling anxious about that, maybe you tell them, hey, you know, why don't we practice that together? Why don't you say it to me? I'll provide feedback or whatever. That's the same reason I love watching space stuff, right? Like, especially these SpaceX launches recently. I'll sit down and I'll watch the whole thing from like beginning to end, from when the astronauts, you know, get to the space station to start suiting up to when... not the space station, you know, the wherever it's going to be launched from, to when they get in the rocket, to when they actually lift off. You know, they're like 6 to 8 hour, you know, ordeals. And I'll have it on the background while I'm working or while I'm doing something. And it just interests me to see all of that. But something that always sticks out is, you know, they'll be doing all this stuff. And then the commentators or the people speaking will always tell you, you know, this isn't the first time they're doing this. They've done all of this, obviously, except for actually launching into space multiple times. So, you know, they've gotten suited up before. They've walked over to, you know, the rocket before. They've gotten into the rocket. They've strapped in. They've closed all doors. Like, they do all this so that, you know, they don't feel anxious. They don't feel stressed about it when the day actually comes, because it becomes part of, like we mentioned before, it's something that you've done before, so you can reference it back and say, hey, I've done all this before. Obviously, being strapped to a rocket and launching into space, maybe some of these people haven't done that before, but, you know, at least everything up to that point, they won't feel anxious about. Once it starts lifting off, well, at that point, I mean, I'd feel anxious if I had, you know, all that rocket and shit behind me and I'm launching into space, but, you know, at least it's less anxiety and less stress than you would have felt if you hadn't done the rest.
Yeah, definitely important to do practice runs. And for a lot of people, you probably have a lot of practice with anxiety, right? And the more that you experience it and the more that you experience those things, you know you can get through it, right? You've gotten through it before, but it still sucks. And hopefully, you know, you can do something, and hopefully you have people that are willing to help you, and
you're willing to help other people.
Yeah. You know, once you get better, hopefully you're willing to help other people with their stuff. And that's kind of the reason why we started the podcast is, you know, we said, hey, so many of our friends and so many of the people we talk to on a daily basis kind of had similar stories, right? It seems to be that common thread with a lot of millennials and younger people right now is that we kind of don't really know what we're doing, right? Like older generations, by the time they were my age, like they had like 2 or 3 kids, you know?
Yeah.
And they had a house and they had all these different things. And for me, I'm just like, whoa, what do I want to do, right? You know, the plan doesn't have to be laid out exactly how other people think the plan is, because it's my life, right? In the same way, you know, it's your life at home and you got to live it the way you want to. So
yeah, you know, I saw a very sad statistic yesterday, I think, where more people in Japan died from suicide this year than they've died from the coronavirus, which is very, very sad, because, you know, mental health issues are everywhere, and especially during times like this where there's stress from everywhere in all kinds of different ways. You know, we need to keep that in mind. We need to help ourselves and help each other to make sure that, you know, our anxiety, our stress, and our depression never gets to a very extreme. And, you know, another study said that there's more, like 80% of people that get coronavirus develop some sort of mental health issues after. So, you know, during this time, it's even more important to know what to do if you have anxiety, you know, help take care of your own mental health problems and also help those around you, you know, help the people that are going through something. Some people may have never had anxiety before or have had it, may not have known what it was, but now it's getting to, you know, that extreme level where they're feeling a lot of the stuff that maybe you've been feeling for a while. So help them out, you know, throw out, you know, give a helping hand, guide them, share, you know, what you've done, share podcasts, share apps that you've used, you know, whatever has helped you, share it with them and try to help them as well.
I believe we joked on an earlier podcast that, you know, me and Ashat were very prepared for the pandemic because we've had anxiety our whole lives, right? And this was just like, oh, okay, now I got to like lock down for all these rules. Cool. It's a little bit more like my routine has changed, but I still have a routine. And for a lot of people, you know, they've never had anxiety, you know, fortunately for them. And this probably just was just a complete tailspin for them. And even for me, who's gone through a bunch of shit and like, oh, you know, I made it through this, I made it through that, all these different life events, I'm still like, oh shit, I hit a breaking point, you know, a few weeks ago where I was like, fuck, is this really forever? Like, you know, and even though we discussed it in other episodes, right? It's like, if there's a vaccine and we have a deadline, that's awesome, but you still got to make it to that end of the race.
Yep.
Right. And then you still got to, you know, it's still going to be issues later. And for a lot of people, I think the biggest crisis we're going to see in the next 5 years, it's all going to be mental health because everybody went through this event collectively, you know, as a world. And a lot of people were suffering and struggling. And some people are going to feel very depressed and maybe even suicidal because of what's happening. Right. Oh, the government's supposed to take care of me. Well, the government didn't really take care of me in certain places, right? They tried to get more power, or they tried to do whatever, or they tried to make more money. Or maybe you're in a place where like the government really did take care of you and you're really thankful for it, right? I mean, all these things are going to be flying through our heads constantly, and people are going to just have different experiences with it. But collectively, we all had this massive event together. And of course, there's people that don't care, that maybe they're just not wired for anxiety, right? Like, ah, whatever, it's not a big deal. Like, if I get it, I get it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I, of course, still want them to be happy. I just don't want them to spread the disease to people. You know, that's not, like, go out and be happy is not get other people sick, right? If you want to go bungee jumping, then, like, that's on you. But if you go bungee jumping and there's 10 other people attached to your line, that's a problem. If the rope snaps or whatever, right? Like, I mean, bungee jumping is typically pretty safe. Typically.
No, but that's a good point. So having an end in mind is definitely another good way to help someone, reminding them of that. You know, for a lot of people that have anxiety about the coronavirus, you know, knowing that a vaccine is coming in the next, you know, 4, 5, 6 months is definitely something that'll help reduce their anxiety. But for anyone else that's having anxiety about something else, you know, letting them know that there is an end to it. You know, if they're feeling anxious about work, letting them know that, you know, maybe that project is coming to an end, or maybe whatever it is, you know, maybe Friday's right around the corner and they didn't have to worry about it for the weekend. So knowing that there is an end in mind is definitely a good way to help someone out. And with that thought, there is an end in mind for this episode as well. I think we've gotten there. Thank you all again for listening. Please leave us a review. Please share the podcast. Reach out to us. You know, if you're feeling anxious, if you want to know any other methods that can help, if you have any questions, anything at all, you know, all of the ways to reach out to us are in the description below.
Also, reach out if you have other tips for things that, you know, people can do to help out, right? Maybe there's something we missed just because of the way that we are. Maybe there's something that only applies to women or to men or to a specific group or whatever, right? Reach out and we'll talk about those things as well, you know?
I completely agree.
Yeah. We're on this journey together. So.
Yes, we are. Thank you all. Take care, stay safe, and stay healthy.